Well, brethren, once again, happy Sabbath. I'm glad you all could be here on just a, you know, beautiful Sabbath day. So if you are looking for a title for this message, we're going to call it A Year of New Beginnings. A Year of New Beginnings. So I know it's not the new year yet, but it's coming close. So A Year of New Beginnings. So to begin with, we're going to turn to Romans 13. Romans 13, and we're going to read verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now is it high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Like I said, I know that New Year's is just a couple weeks away, but I thought this was a decent message to give, and it's timely also. You know, one of the things that most people have in common at the New Year, most of them make resolutions. Most of them make resolutions. One boy asked his father what his New Year's resolution was. And the father said he was going to do everything possible in the new year to make his mother happy. So then the boy went to his mom. The boy asked his mom what hers was, and she said to do everything possible to make sure that your father keeps his resolution. So why do many people make them anyway? You know, they make them because there's areas in their lives that they're either unhappy with, or areas in their lives that they want to do better. Now, we obviously don't make resolutions, but they did a survey. They did a survey a few years back, and the number one resolution in America was to lose weight. And I think probably most everyone knows that. Well, a wife came into the bathroom to see her husband standing on the scales with his stomach stuck in, tucked in, and his hands pulling his stomach in as far as he could. She told him that sucking in his stomach wouldn't make it any better. He said, yes, it would, because if I didn't do that, I couldn't see the scales. You know, this is one of those very few times when everybody, believers and non-believers alike, are going to do the exact same thing at the exact same time in just a couple weeks away. They're going to be leaving one place and going into another. And of course, I'm talking about leaving 2017 and going into 2018. So as we leave 2017, we should leave it completely. We should leave it completely. The second thing is grab hold of the future. Grab hold of the future. And number three, know what God's will is for us. We must know what God's will is for us. So let's go ahead and start on number one. Number one is leave it completely. Leave it completely. When we pray, we often take our needs to God and ask His help in dealing with them. And when we do, and then, what do we do? What do we do from then? Well, instead of leaving them with Him, oftentimes we take them back, and we take them back with us as we finish praying. You know, we need to learn. We need to learn that once we've prayed, to leave things where they belong. Leave the things where they belong. And we should learn to leave some things completely. We must leave them in God's hands. So what are some of the things that we need to leave behind? What are some of the things? It can be summed up just by saying that anything in our lives that keep us from fully focusing on God should be left behind. You know, being a Christian means to always be going forward. Always be going forward. And have you ever noticed that how we always talk about our walk? You know, we talk about our walk. We talk about our walk in life. We talk about our walk in faith. And we talk about our walk with God. By its very nature, walking means moving forward. It means moving forward. And we leave one place and go into another. So as we leave, let's leave behind those parts of ourselves that do us no good. And here are some suggestions as to, you know, what we might choose to leave behind. Let's leave resentment behind. Leave resentment behind. You know, each of us, we're human, and there's things that we resent. We all have something that we resent. So we must resent something we have said and done. Or we might resent what someone else has said and done. But along with resentment comes unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is a very dangerous thing to keep locked up inside us. Last weekend was a very good opportunity to look at forgiveness and what all benefits comes from forgiveness. You know, we saw that basically unforgiveness pulls us apart from God, and it's a sin. And it's a sin that can keep us from the kingdom. Resentment, unforgiveness keeps us, our health, keeps our health, you know, down. It affects everything that we do in our lives. Jesus said that if we forgive, God will forgive us. We covered this last weekend. But if we do not forgive, God will not forgive us. Now we must understand that to forgive doesn't mean the same thing as to forget. You know, we can't erase our memories, but we can erase our resentment. And, you know, it suggests that we take a good look at our lives, at the different things that we have, and put them in proper perspective. Instead of looking at our resentment from a negative side, start looking at it from a positive side. In other words, when we remember those things, as we surely will, look at them as an example of what to never feel again. What to never feel again. And understanding where they'll lead us. Where they'll lead us. And that should be enough to encourage us to do so. So forget the things which hurt us. Forget the things that hurt us. And forgive those people who did or said them. You know, we have to put forgiveness first. And I like the old saying that it says, look lovely upon your enemies, for it is you who have made them. Have you ever thought about that? Look lovely upon your enemies, for it is you who have made them. You know, we choose to dislike people based upon what we like or what we think. And we must realize that we're not perfect. We're not the perfect examples. So we shouldn't hold others accountable to our standards. And also, we should stoop, if we stoop low enough to begrudge others, they win. They win. So make a decision to leave our resentment behind. Leave our worries behind. As we move into the next year, leave our worries behind. Worries are very much like rocking chairs. You know, they give us something to do, but they never take us anywhere. Especially while we're doing it. You know, we won't worry. We only worry about two things. Things that can change and things that can't change. So why waste time doing something that only hurts us and never helps us? When we worry, it ends up taking over our every thought. And it becomes a predominant thought in our lives. Yet, it's also worry that causes mental illness, stress, and many other things that destroy our lives. Heart conditions, high blood pressure. Worry has killed more people than hard work ever did. And worry is the cause of fear. Worry is the cause of fear. So, we must leave our worries behind as we enter the new year also. Leave our failures behind. Leave our failures behind. You know, we try so hard to be the best that we can be, but we don't always succeed. And in those times, when we don't succeed, we get discouraged. And we just get discouraged because we failed. But what have we failed in? What have we failed in, really? You know, we may not have achieved just what we originally set out to achieve, but we haven't failed. We haven't failed. The only time we fail is when we don't try to do anything. So we need to understand that God has called us to have faith long before He ever called us to achieve. We are called to have faith. And we're called to be in Christ. As long as we are in Him, we are successful. We are successful. You know, the ancient Israelites never seemed to get it right. You know, they would all turn towards God and worship Him, and everything in their lives would drastically improve. But after a couple hundred years, they would turn back their backs on Him again and see doom visit them and their nation. But we're told that God will turn our failure into success. He will definitely turn our failure into success if we allow Him to fully and allow Him fully into our lives. Let's look at 1 Kings 8, verse 33 and 34. 1 Kings 8, verses 33 and 34. 1 Kings 8, verse 33 and 34. Says, when your people, Israel, have been defeated by enemies because they sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, then you will hear from heaven, and you will forgive their sins and bring them back to the land of their forefathers. When we as a nation or as individuals have strayed from God, we will find failure in our lives. It's proven. It's a fact. But when we turn our back, when we turn back once again to Him, He will hear our pleas. And He will restore us to success, for He is the God of restoration. He is the God of restoration. So as we leave 2017, we should pay close attention to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6. Beginning in verse 5, it says, "Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." So, examine ourselves. We must examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith, and then we must test ourselves. And do we realize that Christ is in us? Christ is in us unless of course, we fail the test. And I trust that we all will discover that we have not failed the test. So in other words, look deep within our hearts. We must examine ourselves and look deep within our hearts. So as we head into the new year, make sure Jesus is firmly planted. He's firmly planted in our heart so that he goes with us everywhere we go, covering us in God's wonderful grace and blessings. And then choose to leave those things that distract us from realizing Jesus to the fullest possible extent. So imagine, if you will, a trapeze artist swinging from one swing to another, high above the ground, with no net under him for protection. As he reaches out to the next swing, what must he do? What must he do? Well, he must go on. He must let go of one so that he goes on. And if he refuses to let go of the swing that he's on, he'll never be able to go to the next swing. And in the same way, we must let go of our old year before we can go purposefully into the new year. Let 2017 be fully completed. Let it take its rightful place in the hallways of the past. Whether it was a good year or bad, and hopefully it wasn't, but let it go completely. Let it go completely by completely looking forward to the following year. And then as we let go of the past, we must learn to, number two, grab hold of the future. Grab hold of the future. Each new year is a representative thing. And it represents to us that there's a whole range of new opportunities. New opportunities for us, an unlimited chance to have a better life. At the start of every new year, we see magazines publishing predictions of how they think the world will be in the upcoming year. Some of these predictions have been accurate, but most have fallen way short of being the truth. One such prediction was that in the 21st century, technology would be so advanced that the world would not have to work more than 20 hours a week. We know that's not true. And it seems that no matter how far advanced technology gets, we just keep getting busier and busier. And someone said that the merry-go-round of life has gotten so fast that we now have no chance whatsoever of stepping off. If that is the case, then we need to go into our tomorrows with as much help as possible. So how do you think that we fare in the new year? How will we fare in the new year? Will it actually be a new year of new beginnings? Will we leave, or will we have the wherewithal to analyze ourselves honestly so that we will know what areas to leave behind, and what things to bring with us? We need to be very wise as we step through the doorway of time. To the next year. And one of the best suggestions along this line is found in Ephesians 5 and verse 15 through 17. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Beginning in verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So if we're going to make the best of the future, we need to understand a few things. The first thing that we really need to get a grip on is our time on earth is limited. Our time on earth is limited. We all know this. Let's look in Psalms 90 and verse 10. Psalms 90 and verse 10. We'll be reading from the New International Reader's Version. Psalms 90 and verse 10, and it states, "We live to be about 70, or we may live to be 80, if we stay healthy. But all that time is filled with trouble and sorrow. The years quickly pass, and then we are gone." Brethren, our lives seem so long, at least to us. But in reality, they're really very short. They're really very short. Considering that, wouldn't it be good to make sure that we use 2018 as a time to really draw close and closer to God? And I'm talking about getting totally committed to God. Stop worrying about what our friends, our neighbors, co-workers might say to us for doing so. What seems like forever to us is only just a blink in the eye, a blink of an eye. The psalmist writes that our life lasts no longer than a vapor of our breath. And it's here, and then it's gone. And two friends who were in love can sit in a car talking, and an hour seems to be a minute as it goes by. However, that same hour seems like an eternity to their parents. A magazine ran an article about a new clock. A new clock that they have that keeps track of how much time we have left to live. And I thought that was kind of interesting. It calculates an average lifespan of 75 years for men and 80 years for women. So, for a mere $100, you can program your gender, and age into the clock, and it'll tell you just how much time you have left to live. Not sure I'd really even want that clock. That's going to extreme, and we all know that. But we're told in the Bible to keep track of our days. Keep track of our days. That doesn't necessarily mean to know, for you to know when you're going to die, but to know your time is limited. Our time is limited, and it's our responsibility to make the most of the time that we have. I got doing a little bit of calculating, and if I live to the ripe old age of 75, I have nearly 7,120 days left. Well, that seems like a lot. But, you see it in its real context when you consider that I've already lived a little under 19,365 days. So in the limited time that I have left, what should I be looking at more than anything else? What can I do? What can I do for God while I'm still here? That's the things that we need to be looking at. We have such a short time here in this life, but it's on that short time that all of our eternity is being, and it will depend. So therefore, I think any sane person would choose to take a personal analysis of themselves and figure out what areas of their lives do them more harm than good. Make a choice to leave them behind as they step forward into a new year of opportunities that God has given each and every one of us, and to grab hold of this future with all the gusto that we have, knowing it too shall pass and come to a quicker than we are ready for end. So, we must also prioritize so that we do not lose what we have to overload. You know, it's estimated that the average doctor, and this was something that I had no clue, the average doctor must read over 200 medical articles each month just to keep up with the new changes that are coming and the new procedures. And that comes out to an average of nearly 70 articles every month. Of course, there's no doctor who has that kind of time. And because they don't, many doctors feel absolutely overloaded. They feel this way because they're expected to do something that they can't do. How many times do we hear that? How many times do we hear that? Because somebody was so stressed from being overloaded, they snapped or they had a meltdown. Have we ever heard of anyone having a mental or emotional problems because they've had everything under control? You know, we must be sure that we have our priorities set in order, that we realize which things must be done and when, so that we don't get overloaded in 2018. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2. It reminds us that there is a time for everything. There is a time for everything. And there's a time for everything that is done on earth. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And as some people like to say, there's a time to plant and there's a time to be planted. Time management is not as difficult as it first appears. Now, list all the things that we have to do. Keep a list. Then go back over them, assigning a number to each thing on our list, with number one being the most important, and on down the line from there. Then make another list, listing each of the prior items in their numerical order, starting with number one. Now we have the most important things in our life already written down, and all we have to do now is to figure out about when we will do them and how long we'll spend each day doing them. For instance, if prayer is on our list, and it should be, write down daily, and either a time period or a total amount of time that you're going to spend in prayer, or that you hope to spend in prayer. So let's recap what we've done so far and what we've had so far. As we go into the new year, we should leave those things that we consider failures behind and put them out of our lives. They might consist of bad personality traits to a doubt that God can't help us. No matter what it is, if it can't help us in the future, leave it in the past. We must leave it in the past. We must go into our new year with our eyes wide open. Our eyes wide open so that we can grab hold of everything. Everything that God is giving us. And that means to pay attention to Him. Not just giving Him that occasional thought in passing. We can only do that if we realize our time is limited. So we have to prioritize. We have to prioritize to keep from getting bogged down and being overloaded. But there's a third thing. There's a third thing that we must do if we're going to use 2018 as a true year of new beginnings and become successful in everything that we must do. We must, number three, know what God's will is for us. We must know what God's will is for each and every one of us. Again, quoting the Apostle Paul, he says for us to not be foolish, Not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. So each and every one of us, it's our responsibility to know what God's will is for us. Since that, you know, we are in the church today. We're here today. So we realize that we need God in our lives. We need God in our lives. And I'm hoping that we really believe that our relationship with Christ and God the Father is more important than anything else in our lives. Know that God never says for us to be comfortable. He never says for us to be comfortable. He does, however, expect us to focus on Him and not the things of the world. To do this, get a load of this, to do this, we must be fat. Let me explain. We must be fat. Well, F is for faithful. We must be faithful. A, we must be available. So we must be faithful. We must be available. And T, we must be teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. So we must be faithful. How faithful are we to Jesus Christ? Have we ever asked ourselves that? Are we faithful just when it's convenient to do so? Or are we faithful even when it's not convenient? You know, if I have a lot of money and I give it from comfort, it doesn't mean as much as if somebody else is barely can afford to give, but gives as much as they can plus a little extra. And why? Well, because they had to sacrifice something. They had to sacrifice for God when they gave. And I didn't have to. That's being faithful to Jesus Christ. You know, we focus on Him and do things for His glory, even when it's an inconvenience for us to do so. We must be available. We must be available. So, how available are we? How available are we? Do we go to church when it's convenient to do so, or just when we're not tired? Or do we go to church even when we're tired and would rather be doing something else? Do we reach out to others only if we know them, or even when we don't know them? So in other words, are we really available to do what God wants us to do? Are we teachable? Are we teachable? You know, we must be teachable. And are we willing to listen to some other person in authority tell us what we should be doing for God? Or do we get irritated and quit listening? You know, Satan's using our self-will. Our self-will and pride to keep us away from God. And he does it every day. And he's going to be doing it harder and harder and more each and every day as time goes on. A man used to say it like this: listen to all advice you can get. Then analyze it and study it. Discard what will not help you and hang on to the dear life, to that which will help you. So when you get advice, listen to it. Listen to it. Go through it, analyze it, study it, and discard what won't help you. You know, to be a Christian who is walking forward for God and not just sitting in one spot claiming the miracles of Christ, as said before, we need to be fat. Are we? Are we fat? Are we faithful, available, and teachable? These are just little things to look at. You know, life is what happens to us as we're focused on our dreams. Dreams are fine, but don't let them rob you of your life. And keep our life in Christ. We must keep our life in Christ, and that's the main thing, so that we truly can be all that we're meant to be. You know, I want to close with just one thought. And I want to read to you what Paul said in Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. I know it's probably hard to see. But Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. And this is from the Message version, and it's paraphrased. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Brethren, we have a choice. We now have a choice. We can go into the new year taking everything with us, being dulled to the need of changing some things, or we can go into the new year trying our best to make sure that the past is the past and the future is God. And the future is God. But to do so requires some very honest thinking on our part. You know, we can no longer ignore things because we now have been made aware. And when we are aware of what God wants, we become accountable for them. So as we go into the new year, and we go into our year of new beginnings, using it as that, a year of brand new beginnings, of having our opportunities, and the year of new hope. God wants to give us a do-over. God wants to give us a do-over for 2018. I have one last question for you. Will we accept it?